Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Ignite Depot. My name is Mill Jones. I'm the senior leader here. I want to thank you for taking time out to join us today. I declare that this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be exceedingly glad in it. Man, I know right now there's a time of visitation, a time of impartation, a time of revelation of the Word of God, and I know it's going to change your life forever. So we're going to jump right into the Word of God today in Jesus' name. Again, my name is Milton Jones. I'm the senior leader here at Ignite Depot, aka We Are ID3, and I wanted to thank you for taking time out to join us today. Man, if this is your very first time, we want to welcome you to our broadcast, and I believe that God has a right now word for you that will ultimately change your lives forever. So we're going to jump right into the word in Jesus' name by first making our declaration in accordance to Isaiah 61:1. It says it this way. It says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and to open up the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, a day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn. He says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the waste cities, they shall repair their former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. Father, we give you glory and we give you honor, we give you praise tonight. We thank you, Father, that this is the day which you've made. We will rejoice and we will be exceedingly glad. Father, I pray right now and in the name of Jesus that our preaching and teaching will not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of spirit and power, that the faith of the people lie not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Most High God. Father, I decrease that you may increase, 100% of you and absolutely none of me. Father God, let my pen and my tongue be the pen of a ready writer, writing the very oracles of your word upon the tablets of their hearts. Father God, I believe that today people's lives will be set free, delivered, made whole as a result of this word. It is in your Son Christ Jesus' name we pray. Thanksgiving, let us all say amen. Now again, my name is Mill Jones. I'm the senior leader here at Ignite Depot. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Man, we're going to jump right into the word of God. And it's going to be a word in due season for you in Jesus' name. Now, if you was with us last week, we began a new series called Blurred Lines. And we was talking about the blurred lines. We was talking about how that in the latter days that there was going to be a falling away. But tonight, as we get started into that word of God message tonight, I know that God has given me a word to share with you before we get started in Jesus' name. And the title of this message, if I was to give it one, is Blurred Lines Part 2. Blurred Lines Part 2. If you missed the very first session, you could scan on our QR code that's on the screen for our Night Depot, our Night to Life podcast, where you can hear this message and the message that preceded it in the name of Jesus. Now, he said last week, he said, son, man of God, I want you to sound the alarm. And sound an alarm simply means that he says, in accordance to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 27, he says it this way. He says, whatever I tell you in the dark, he says, speak in the light. He says, and what you hear in the ear, he says, preach or proclaim on the housetops. In fact, he says this in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 7. He says, son of man, he says, I have made you a watchman. He says, for the house or over the body of Christ and over a region and over a land. And he says, and this is what I want you to do. He says, you shall hear a word from my mouth. And he says, and then you will warn the people. He says, you will hear a word from my mouth, the Lord says. And he says, and then he told me, he says, then you will go forth and you will warn the people. And I said, okay, Father. And he says, and this is the word I want you to share with them. He says, this is a time of awakening. He says, this is a time of awakening. In fact, it says this in Romans chapter 13 verse 11, and it says this, and I'm reading out a New Living Translation, and it says it this way. He says, this is all the more urgent, for you know now how late time is. He says, time is running out. He says, wake up. He's telling, he shall sound the alarm and tell my people, it's time to wake up. He says, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believe. He says, so I want you to announce to the people, he says, to wake up. He says, for your salvation is nearer than now than it was when you first believed. He goes on to say this in verse 11, as you were verse 12, at Romans 13 and verse 12, he says, the night is almost gone. He says, the day of salvation will soon be here. He says, so remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. He says, because when we belong to the day, he says, we must live decent lives for all to see. He says, don't even participate in the darkness of wild parties. He says, of drunkenness or sexual promiscuity. He says, or immoral living, or in quarreling, or jealousy. He says, instead, he says, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says to clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, and don't let yourself think about things or to indulge your evil desires. He says, hey, wake up. He says, because your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. He says, you got to live as people in the of the day and not continue to take off those dirty clothes or that old way of living. And he says, I want you to live a right living. Put on the shining armor of right living. He says, because we belong to the day, not to the night. He says, so don't even participate in those wild parties or drunkenness or sexual promiscuity or immoral living or quarreling or jealousy. He says, instead, he says, clothe yourself. Put on the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, don't even let yourselves think about ways. He didn't even say just limited to doing the things. He says, don't even let yourself think about how to indulge in evil desires. Now that word awakening, or the word awakening, means a revival. He says it's a time of revival. He says it's a time to give a more general attention. He says it's a time to arouse from inactivity. He said, wake up from inactivity. He goes on, he says, when you're talking about salvation, that Greek word there, salvation, is soteria, which means rescue. Your rescue is near. Your safety is near. Your deliverance, your health, your salvation is nearer now than it was when you first believe. And he says, son of man, reveal this to them as well. In accordance to Luke chapter 17 and verse 26, he says, when the son of man returns, he says, when it's time for the son of man to turn, when it's time for Jesus to return, he says, this is what it's going to look like. He says, it will be like, I'm reading out of Luke chapter 17, verse 26. He says, son of man, when the son of man returns, he says, it will be like it was in Noah's days. He says, in those days, he says, the people were enjoyed banquets and parties and weddings. He says, right up to the time that Noah entered into his boat or into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. He says, and the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. What was going on in the days of Lot? He says, in the days of Lot, he says, people went about their daily business, eating and drinking and buying and selling and farming and building, until the morning Lot left Sodom. And he says, and then fire and burning sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. He says, yes, he says, it will be business as usual right up until the day when the Son of Man is revealed. He's saying this. He says, I'm sounding the alarm. He says, it's time for you to wake, arouse out of your inactivities. He says, take off that old, put on the new, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't even give opportunities to think about the evil deeds to indulge in. He says, because when the Son of Man returns, he says, it's going to be like business as usual. He says, and people will be going about eating and drinking and buying and selling and farming and building until that day. He says that they'll be, you know, enjoying banquets and parties and weddings and having a good old time until that day. And they won't. He says, you know, you want to make sure that you are ever ready. See, the thing about if you stay ready, you don't have to be getting ready. See, the thing about it is, how do you know you stay ready? Man, you stay in right relationship with the Father at all times. You stay in right. I mean, when it says Psalms 91 is talking about I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, means I'm dwelling so close up to Him. I'm dwelling with Him. I'm abiding in His Word. His Word's abiding in me. I'm doing everything I can in my ability with the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to walk out according to the Word of the Most High God. And He gave me this word just before we began, got ready to come live. He says, Son of Man, share this word with my people. And that's exactly what we're doing in the name of Jesus. And it's picking up right where what we talked about last week, talking about the blurred lines. And He's actually, God shared with me earlier today, He says, I'm actually responding to a question that someone asked in prayer, and this is their answer. They was asking God, what in the world is going on? What in the world is going on? Now, a lot of people, when they hear that warning about, you know, it's time to wake out of their sleeping, out of their slumber, they get into guilt and condemnation. But the Father says it's simple. He says it's simple as 1 John 1:9, which says it this way. He says, if you will acknowledge or confess or admit it, it's a three-step process. Admit it, quit it, forget it. What He says, admit or acknowledge the fact that you have not been living the best life you should be living. But you know what? There's no condemnation, because God says, if you confess your faults unto our sins unto Him, He's faithful and just to forgive you and will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So before we go on, let's go ahead and do that right now. Father, say this with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess my sin of not living the life as I should. Father, I repent of acts of darkness, and I ask you to forgive me right now in the name of Jesus. I make a decision to clothe myself with the Lord Jesus Christ and give no thoughts or opportunities for my flesh to sin. In Jesus' name, I receive your forgiveness right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's as simple as that. God's not sitting there waiting on going to beat you down with a billy club. God just wants, whom the Father loves, He corrects, or He shows you areas where, hey, man, you're making opportunities. Are you giving place to things that you should? He says, so I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a switch or make a shift. And He just gave it to us from the very beginning. And now, hey, you confessed it, you prayed it, you admitted it, you quit it, and now you're going to forget it, because He's forgotten it, in Jesus' name. Now, we're answering a question that says this: what in the world is going on? Somebody asked God, what? No, they're praying, Lord, what in the world is going on? He says it's simple. He says, in accordance to Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, hear the word of the Lord, O people of whatever nation or city or province you're in or state you're in right now. He says, the Lord has brought charges against you, saying there is no faithfulness. He says there is no kindness. He says there is no knowledge of God in the land. And I want you to make sure you hold on to that last statement. There is no knowledge of God in the land. Verse 2 in Hosea chapter 4 says it this way. He says, and because there's no knowledge of the land, there's no faithfulness in the land, there's no kindness in the land, he says, this is what's happening as a result. He says, you make vows and you break them. You kill and you steal and you commit adultery. He says, there's violence everywhere. He says, one murder after another. He says, that is why your land is mourning and everyone is wasting away. Even the wild animals, The birds of the sky and the fish of the sea are disappearing. And as much as people are talking about, climate change and global warming, what now they're talking about global warming. Before it was talking about, global freezing and everything. But scientifically, they have not proven not one single time what the correlation between the two is. But God says, I just showed you what's going on. He says, because there is no faithfulness, there's no kindness, and there's no knowledge of God in your land, these things are going to begin to manifest in your land. And it's happening whether people want to believe it or not. He says, so what in the world is going on? That's what's going on in the world. He says, son of man, tell the people this. He says, and we talked about this last week. He says, there's a great falling away. He says, and according to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, he says this. He says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the truth, faith. He says they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that came from demons. He says these people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. It didn't say their consciousness was weak. He said their conscience are the thing that is telling them the difference between right and wrong is dead. He says this. He says the Holy Spirit says that in the last times, like we talked about from the very beginning, that people will begin to turn away. It didn't say that it's going to just flip the script. He just says they're going to begin to turn or gradually turn away from the true faith, and they'll begin to follow after deceptive or erroneous spirits and teachings that will come from it's called the doctrines of demons, and we're going to get into some of that next week in the name of Jesus. Now, when he's talking about, there's lies, these lies are these false truths, are these false demons, these deceptive spirits, it's going to be as a result of, they're going to be coming from lies. What are lies? Those are promulgating erroneous doctrines. So what these demonic spirits are going to do, they're going to be promulgating these erroneous doctrines, erroneous teachings. And he says the very people doing it, they're hypocrites. He says it's all in hypocrisy, which means they have a simulation of feigning to be what one is not. They're going to pretend to be one thing when in reality they are not. Or they're going to have disillusion, dissimulation. And dissimulation is a concealment of one's real character. They're going to, again, it's all about pretending. They're going to project one way when internally there's something altogether different. And what is it all talking about? It all comes down to apostasy. What is apostasy? Apostasy is an abandonment of what one has professed, a total desertion or departure from one's faith. So he says, at one point in time, man, you was rock solid on the word of God, that you knew that Jesus was Lord, that there was only salvation through Jesus, that, that he was born, he went to the cross, he took 39 stripes plus one, he died for 3 days, he went to hell, resurrected from the dead, presented himself before many witnesses, and then he over 500 witnesses he presented himself to. He broke bread with the disciples, gave them the word about the Holy Spirit, ascended up to heaven, and is now sitting on the right hand of the Father. In the very beginning, you believed that rock, shot, and barrel. He said, but somewhere along the line, he says, you begin to fall away from that which is true. And see, the thing about it is, sometimes people cannot see the trees for all the, can't see the forest for all the trees. They can't see the forest. It's right there. It's so obvious. And that's why it's called blurred lines, because even if you look at our background is like the image is, in many areas of the image is blurred. But when you look through the eyes of the glasses on the screen, it makes it all clear. And he says it's the same way when it comes to the word of God. He says you will hear many, many things, many different teachings and doctrines and even by some of the most so-called, you know, hyped up or celebrity ministers or leaders or whatever the case may be, or some of those, they don't even have to be, they could be, I mean, that could be somebody, you know, who has five people in their congregation, but they could be spitting so much erroneous doctrine that those five people will bust it wide open if they don't make a decision to put on the glasses, put on the word of the living God. And when you begin to put on things through the eyes of the word of God, it makes everything clear. See, what happened to the people? How did they get off into apostasy? What caused them to get off? What caused them to turn away? And how did the lines become so blurred? I'm so glad you asked that question, because God gave me the answer. He says the way that they got off into doctrines of devils and hypocrisy and erroneous teachings, he says, is because of their own willful ignorance. Their own willful ignorance. In fact, it says this in Romans chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 19, and it says this way. It says, and they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. There's no excuse for not knowing God. There's no excuse for not knowing God. He says this in verse number 21. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, again, I'm reading out a New Living Translation. It says this way. He says, yes. He says, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think of foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. He says, they knew God. He says, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. He says, they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. He said, and as a result, he says, their minds became dark and confused. And as a result of their minds becoming dark and confused, even though they were claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. He says, and instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. And he says, God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. And as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's body. They traded the truth about God for a lie. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worship and serve the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. See what he's saying? He says, it's not that they did not know God, but they would not worship him or honor him or reverence him or even give thanks to him as God. But instead, what did they do? They began to think up with some fool. You know how much foolery that you have, how much faith it will take for you to believe there's no God than it is to believe that there is a God. I mean, you have to ignore so many things. He says they began to think of foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. It didn't say God did it. It says it was a result of them not honoring, not acknowledging, not worshiping, or not even give thanks to God. It says they traded the truth about God for a lie. And what happened? And that's how they begin to fall away from the faith, because they traded the truth about God for a lie. So you, if you want to know about God, all you got to do is get in his word, because it tells you all about. You could have the greatest conversation and get the greatest knowing about God simply by reading his word. And it will begin to see the word of God is so alive. And according to Hebrews chapter 4 and 12, the word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It purges asunder division between your soul and marrow, your joint. He says it even reveals the very intents and thoughts of your heart. See, the word of God is the only book that while you're reading it, it's reading you, and it's beginning to reveal things to you about you that may have lying dormant for so many years. And what does the word of God do? When you first are reading the word, a lot of things, your situation might look blurred. He says, but when you put on those glasses and you start reading it through the word, guess what that does? It begins to illuminate and brighten and expose and draw, makes things so much clearer. He says, but the lines have been blurred. Remember, they traded the truth for a lie. They traded the truth about God for a lie. And what did they do? They worshiped and served the things that God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. What does it mean to have blurred lines? Well, in accordance to Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 20, it says it this way. He says, woe. He says, what sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What are they doing? They're exchanging the truth for a lie. They're making exchange of the truth for their lie. He goes on to say this in verse 21. He says, so what sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever. He says, so what sorrow for those who are heroes at drinking wine and boast about all the alcohol they can hold. He says, they take bribes to let the wicked go free and they punish the innocent. Doesn't that sound a whole lot like about how they will, because they did not honor God, they did not reverence God, what did they do? They wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks, but they begin to think of foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. They was beginning to shift from saying that evil was good and that good was evil. He says that light was dark and dark was light. He says, when you get to that point, he says, you are you're under what's known as delusion, which means that you can't even tell the difference between the truth and the lie. The delusion will try to confuse you to what the truth is. But you want to know, how did it happen? I mean, you're talking about all these things, man of God, but how is all this going to happen? How is all this even taking place? Not only in the world, we understand it happens in the world, but why was the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy about what was going to happen in the church? Why is God saying all this stuff is going to happen now? And how is it going to happen? Well, in accordance to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24, it talks about it this way. It says, here is another story that Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat. And then he slipped away. And when the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. What happened? What does that mean? See, what happened is when they first began out, they began first. Remember, they have salvation. They were once holding to the truth. And what happened? When they was holding to the truth, someone else came in. And what did they begin to do? They began to sow seeds that was contrary to what the word of God is. Remember, the adversary can't do it all at once. He has to use deception. So what does he do? He begins to sow seed of confusion, seeds of deception, seeds of inclusion, seeds of there two men can be together, seeds of, you know, you don't need Jesus to go to heaven. See all these things which are doctrines that are created by devils that are what it's beginning to do is trying to intermingle itself with the seeds of the Word of God. You have men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers who will teach, some of them will teach the Word of God 1 week, and the next week they will begin to teach, you know, self-help books, or what Oprah said, or what this person said, or what this group said, and they don't want to get chastised or persecuted from the world, so they'd rather offend God than to speak the word of truth. And hey, people are going to persecute you regardless of if you say you're going to live godly. You're going to be persecuted. So what do? You tell the truth in love. You tell the truth of God's word in love. But what happened was is people begin to mix the seeds of the word, seeds of the world, seeds of the word, seeds of the world, and they begin to mingle together. And what happened? The harvest, because the God's principle of seed time and harvest always works. And what began to happen? The harvest began to grow up, and the wheat and the weeds grew up together to the point where you couldn't tell at the naked eye, you could not tell the difference between the two. And he says, and that's exactly what's going on in the body of Christ today. He says, so many people, not the body of Christ, what's going on in many churches today. He says, you got people who have the word when they decide to preach it, and they're preaching their policies, their own theories, arguments, even their doctrines, which don't always line up with the word of God. And what they don't realize is the adversary is using that principle to sow those seeds of weeds to come in and do what? To choke out the word that the person is receiving. You got to understand the adversary has an MO, or mode of operation. The word of God says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I came that you might have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. You got to understand the adversary, he is a liar. It's not that he just lies. He is a liar. In fact, the word of God calls him the father of lies. It says this in John chapter 8 and verse 43. He says, why can't you? And Jesus is talking to people who, Jews, who should know better. He says, why can't you understand what I am saying? He says, the reason why you can't understand what I'm saying is because you can't. He says, because you can't even hear me. He says, for you are children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He says, not only he has always hated the truth. The adversary, Satan, his name, has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. In John chapter 8, verse 44, he says, when he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And didn't just say that he lies. It says he is a liar and he is the father of lies. So Jesus says, so when I tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Why don't you naturally believe me? Believe Jesus. He says, because you operate just like your father, the devil. He says he hated the truth. And what are you talking about? The people who had willful ignorance. They hated the truth. They traded the truth of God for a lie, and they became darkened in their own imaginations. When people are trying to compromise, to go along, to get along, man, you can't do that. He says, I'm gonna share this with you, and this is where we're gonna. I have a couple more points, and this is where we're gonna close. He says one of the greatest lies that the adversary is convincing people of today is this. One of those erroneous doctrines of the adversary is this. You're all children of God, even without Jesus Christ. Did y'all hear that? It says his lie is you're all children of God, even without Jesus Christ. But that could not be any further from the truth. Why do you say that? Because John chapter 1 says it this way. It says, but to all who believed in him, talking about Jesus, and accepted him, talking about Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. If we were already children of God without believing on Jesus, why would he have to give us the right to become children of God? You said, well, give me another example. I'll give you another example. Paul said it in Galatians chapter 3. He said it this way in Galatians 3:26. He says, for you are all children of God through or by faith in Jesus Christ. How do you know that you are a child of God? By your faith in Jesus Christ. It's not enough just to know of Jesus. It's not enough just to know of God, because devils know that. He says, but how do you know that you are truly a child of God? Because one, you have believed and accepted Jesus, so he's given you the power or right to become a child of God. Or because you have expressed your faith in Christ Jesus, therefore you have become a child of God. But the adversary, one of his erroneous doctrines is you are all children of God. And people say that all the time. And I said, we're all created by God, but that does not mean that you are a child of God. I didn't say it. The word of God did. I didn't say it. The word of God did. But you know what? You can fix that right now. It's very simple. It's so simple to get that thing right, to expose that. We've already exposed a lie. So how do you line up with the truth? Remember, they traded the truth for a lie. They truth about God for a lie. God has already revealed the truth to you. Now you have a decision to make. You're either going to believe what his word says, or you're going to willfully walk in ignorance, or willfully walk away from the knowledge of the truth. But now you don't have an excuse saying, I don't know what the truth of God's word says, because God has spent the last 30 minutes expressing it to you. Why? Because he loves you. No matter how far you've been off, God, you can turn that thing around right now. This is simple. It's so simple, a child can do it. And it says this in accordance to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10. It says it this word. It says, the word of God is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's get it right. Doesn't matter how far away you've been. Let's get it right now in the name of Jesus. Say this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in the grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I repent of sin. I receive your offer of forgiveness. Right now, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, or you made a rededication, man, I want to welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you into right standing with God, and welcome you back into right relationship with God. What do you got to do now? Man, you got to get in a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also teaches you about the kingdom of God and the love of God. Man, Ignite. We've been here, and we'd love to have you join us each week at 6 p.m. Atlanta Daylight Standard Time, and also 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we always break the word and help you to know who God is and what his desire is for your life. Man, show you how to do it line upon line, precept upon precept. We'd love to have you join us each week. Now, I know we went through a lot of information today, so hey, you want to check out our podcast at Ignite to Life podcast. Ignite the number 2 Life audio podcast. You can hear this message and all the other messages that led up to this one. You can also, if you want, we released a book back in July, called, you know, the Point of No Return, Discovering Your True Identity and Purpose. Man, it's an amazing book. You can get it anywhere on Amazon or Barnes & Noble and Google Books. Man, it will truly be a blessing to you. And hey, if you want to sow seed into the kingdom of God through Ignite Depot, this is good ground. And man, I tell you what, we're preaching this gospel of the kingdom of God all over the world. So hey, you want to sow into the ministry, man, hit scan the QR code or go to our website at ignitetolife.com and you'll hit the give button, man, and to tell you all the instructions on how to give. And man, we truly want to be a continue to be a blessing to you. Now, on behalf of Pastor Juwan and to our Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And remember this, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.